Brother Joe made mention about prophecy and salvation. I got to thinking, it's plain right there in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. The time we're going to be looking at today is known as Jacob's trouble. He shall be saved out of it. It's all about salvation. Alas, for that great day, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. When it uses the word Jacob, that's, of course, his name before it's changed to Israel. Speaking of the trickster, the double dealer, Israel is a blessed state. Turn to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. And we're going to be looking for the biggest part today at Revelation chapter 10. But there's a part of that book that was sealed up, and there's also something similar in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to the same that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt, to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up thy words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. It says there in verse 9 also, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Something goes on. He was told not to write it. We live in a high-tech world, and it's called the unveiling of Daniel 12 and 4. Knowledge shall be increased. How did we go from an ox cart to the moon? Just in a very short period of time, whereas before that, nothing changed for thousands of years. God allowed it to be so, and He willed it to be so, and it is so. We think about the coming wars, on the other hand, mentioned horses. What happens? Well, if you think about the rapture, it's going to be literal. The energy that's going to be required, of course, God knows all about it. What is that going to do to the present system? We read in the book of Revelation, the 18th chapter, about all, we've been there before, about all the goodly things that goes on in a society that people crave, the dainties, the luxuries and all that. They're going to be gone. The world's going to be outraged, and they're going to be anti-God. There's not going to have said it before. It's not that they don't believe Him. They're going to be anti-God, rebellion against Him. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, you look over there, you read in chapter 12, a woman clothed, verse 1, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. I believe this is talking about Christ. Of course, that's Israel there in chapter 12, verse 1, and speaks about Christ. But in chapter 10, keep in mind that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and this is God's judgment upon the world. So who's sending it? It would be Christ. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And of course, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. John, like Daniel, was told to seal up what he prepared to write. From an overall picture, sometimes you need to reboot, you know, go back, repent and do the first works, as it said to the seven churches. Jacob had been away from the house, his home, the land was to be his and his descendants, for some 20 to 30 years when he went and kept sheep for Laban's daughters. And he was instructed, in, I think it's chapter 35:1 or 36:1 of Genesis, to go back to Bethel. That's the house of God. Leave the world alone. We all long for the heavenly home. This is the last half of Daniel's 70th week is what we're going to be looking at. In Matthew chapter 24, Christ called it Great Tribulation. Now, we believe the tribulation period lasts a full 7 years because it's Daniel's 70th week. And seven divided into two is 3.5. That don't make for an even number of years. It's in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. No flesh. What's the battle cry of the globalists? They want to keep population under control. Now, there's plenty of places for people to live in this world. There's plenty of room. That's just their tactic, so they say. Well, left up to them, they'd get their way. All flesh would be destroyed. Well, that behind them is the wicked one who's wanting to wipe out mankind, basically, long story made short. In Psalms chapter 137 and verse 9, we're told that God gave the world to the children of men. That's Psalms 137 verse 9. No, that's not what I wanted to have. In the wrong place. 115:16. I'll get it right here in a minute. Got the wrong scripture down in my notes. Verse 115 and 116. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men, not to the angels. Who's fighting? It's the wicked one. God, it's made it plain. It was given to men. God's not an Indian giver, as the saying goes. And it must be regained by a man, which Christ, the God-man, will do. One more reason why he took upon himself flesh after the seed of Abraham. Well, if it's given to the seed of men, and these are the wicked spirits trying to overthrow it, they must go, so to speak. They must be rooted out of the world. Second Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon writing, Second Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? I mean, this planet, it's small in comparison to most others. It looks insignificant. God chose to make it something special. And he will rule and reign on it when it gets to his liking. How's it going to get to his liking? He's going to make it to his liking, like he does in salvation. We're not a diamond in the rough. He makes us heirs of salvation. If there's any good work done in us, it's him doing it in us. It's not ourselves. Nothing in our hands we bring. It's all about salvation. It's on God's terms. Christ also taught there, I didn't read it all, in Matthew chapter 24. And part of this, of course, is referring to the overthrow of Jerusalem in 70 AD. He made reference there in chapter 24:19, and woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Why is that? Psalms, there's several places in Scripture talk about it. But the daughter of Babylon, as it's referred in Psalms 137, verse 8, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Daughter, not Babylon, but the daughter. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against a stone. That's what you're going to have going on. The guillotine, that Ian, I was talking about, that's what's going to be going on. It's going to be a time of great tribulation, unparalleled suffering. God has given this world to man, and the squatters, the unlawful usurpers, must go. And Christ, of course, will carry that task out. Back to Revelation chapter 10. Read back where we was. This voice was the voice of a lion. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, he walked on water and walked on land. The rightful heir of it, who created heaven, swear by him that who lived forever, who created heaven, the things therein are, the earth and the things that therein are, the sea and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. What I understand, that time should no longer be delayed. And we've already read, except he had shortened those days, there'd be no flesh saved. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Many mysteries. I'll go on and read. And verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. all kinds of ideas. But we see one thing here. John, as he's called the Revelator, will prophesy again. Was it because it was sweet because it's the word of God, like Eli said in the days of Samuel? Good is the word of the Lord when he was told his house would be judged. And Hezekiah, after he had showed all the things of the Lord's house unto the king of Babylon, said, good is the word of the Lord. And it is good, but it's got some pretty dark chapters in it. Could it be that because John is one of the two witnesses that we'll read about in Revelation 11, it's a possibility. Elijah we know to be one, because what we read in Malachi, but this other could be Enoch, could be John. But we see that God's word is sweet. The two witnesses of Christ, as I said, we will read about them in the next chapter. Getting back to this, the identity of this one who says that, declares that time would no longer, would be no longer. Who is this angel? Now, an angel means messenger or herald. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, often called a theophany, the appearance of Christ before the incarnation. In the days of the judges, in Judges 13, Manoah, that was the father of Samson, saw what we believe to be a theophany. Joshua, Brother Joseph spoke about here a week or so ago, saw the captain of the Lord's host, a theophany, we believe. That was Christ before Calvary, before his first advent. It is troubling to us, what are the writings? It can only be bad. Well, first and foremost, we plan on not being here. And God's word is good, but it's troubling to all us here especially. And you know what I'm getting at, because there's loved ones we feel that not going to be taken out and calling away, the rapture as we call it. And that's tragic, because you got at best a 50-50 chance of surviving it. A lot of things we see coming because we read the trouble that's going to go on during that time. Eleven and one, and there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles and to the holy city, that they should tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. It's mentioned in the book of Zechariah. And the two candlesticks standing before the Lord of earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in like manner be killed. These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of prophecy, of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues and as often as they will. Now Moses, during the Exodus, had the power to perform most of these. Authority goes a long way. Like I say, I'm not telling you it's John, it's possibly that it could be. Could be Moses. Over in the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. I think it probably may be easier to understand here. I've covered this before. I mentioned it a minute ago. Verse 20 of Luke 11, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." Get away from Jerusalem. "And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Stay away from Jerusalem. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall away by the edge of the sword," as we just read the times of the Gentiles. "And they shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled." That was 70 A.D. Then notice there's a change there in another paragraph. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth," the whole earth, not in that land, but the whole earth, "distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after the things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory, great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." We can't do any more "what year you think it's going to be. It's so close now, we can't do that." And of course, passage that I always make reference to, verse 36, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." You can only escape. You can only do this if there's a rapture, I guess what I'm saying. Getting back to this mighty angel that we read about in Revelation 10. No place in Scripture is an angel said to be this great. He said time would be no more delay. We think about the evidence of an angel. We don't see an angel swearing in Scripture. This does not sound like an angelic being that we speak of. This one roared like a lion roared. "Seal up those things," as he said. "Lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are, that there should be no longer a delay in time." We think about Christ, he's the wonderful, the things that were said about him in Isaiah chapter 9. This sounds a lot more like Christ than a mere angel. Anyway, we go on and on. The contents of this book have to do with John's role as a prophet. As immediately after John ate the book, his stomach was bitter. And as I said, he was told he must prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. The word "before," from what I understand in the Greek, is epi, and it's kind of an unsure meaning. Is it referring to him coming back at a later time and preaching before rulers? Well, the one thing for sure, the two witnesses of Christ will be doing that. The whole world will hate them. We wonder, because the world is so full of, that we live in, so full of churches. How can you tell which one's the true one? Do they love worldly things? I mean, when you see those that are all about world, like your dances and things of that nature, you know where I'm coming from. That's just a good indicator. God's word is good and will be well for his people, but there's going to be some dark times. John's going to, if he's one of the last two witnesses, will experience some dark times. How many people are going to love him? Very few. How many people are going to hate him? Globalistic, worldwide. The last half of the Great Tribulation will be very grievous. It's going to end in Armageddon, which we've already looked at. This book, like I say, it's mysterious. But what does it hold? Well, I'll give you an example. In Revelation 16, in verse 6, "For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." Now, it's said in the days of Noah that they had a quest for blood. I've never been able to figure out where they get that from, unless it's perhaps the writings of Enoch. If there's a quest for blood, it wouldn't surprise me. It's going to be some terrible times. I certainly wouldn't want to be no part of it. But the Lord's going to judge them rightly. If blood's what they want, blood's what they'll get. There's mysteries involved that Scripture hints at. Why did God allow man to be tempted of the devil to ruin man? Well, it brings forth man. As the saying goes, we gain more in Christ than we lost in Adam. You will have a man glorified, Christ-like, and no intentions, and no ability to sin. That'll be gone. Man, as good as the original creation was, man was still subject to temptation. I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We believe this restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. Once he's gone, Christ goes to the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. The Holy Spirit that resides in the church is taken out. We have a double portion now. They will not have during that great tribulation. That's possibly why so many of them shed their blood for their faith. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, we've already looked in Mark's gospel that if it's possible, they deceive the very elect of God. The Lord's going to take us out. There's many things about the unveiling, what all is going to be unveiled. But as I said, we know for sure that we gain more in Christ than we lose in Adam. In the book of somewhere in Minnesota, Isaiah chapter 25 and 7. I think we looked at this last week. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all the nations. Consider, we all know the pagan customs of Easter and Christmas. The world thinks these things, and we all know honest people, good people, think that those are Christian holidays. A close study of them revealed their pagan origin, and they're definitely not Christian. That's what you're fighting with in the world. People are to say there's a covering cast over all the people. Most of the time, we'd have to say truth about Christianity and the false religions is Christianity is not what the world thinks it is. Diametrically opposed. The last half of the Great Tribulation is so much worse because the devil will be upon the earth. He's cast out of heaven. As there's war in heaven, back to Revelation 11. Speaking about the, well, we was just covering the two witnesses. Verse 7, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast and that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. That would be a bitter pill to swallow. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where the Lord, where our, also our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. And they of the people of the kindreds and tongues of the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They're anti. They hate these two. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. What does that sound like to you? That's the real, the world's real opinion of Christianity. It's just now brought to fruition. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can you imagine our anchors on these liberal news channels zeroing in on that? Obviously, the world's watching. They wanted to show they're going to get one. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. As I said at the outset, God's given this earth, this world, to the sons of men. It's time for God, man, Christ, to rid the world of those unlawful usurpers. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. If you read there in the book of Daniel, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands destroys the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, or the image it had gold, silver, brass, iron. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. We've seen this all along. and thy wrath is come, in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy or corrupt the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Oh, sorry, Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's in heaven. God don't leave those things for me. The Catholic world like to think, they like you to think that they have all that stuff. Those things, God just don't trust anybody. These mysteries are unveiled. Sin and rebellion is put down. A lot of things we see in here, the devil coming down to earth is what we see in the next chapter, which we're out of time there anyway. Let's see what. When the rapture occurs, there's going to be the two witnesses left to preach the gospel. We've covered this before. And they're going to preach to 144,000 that will be converted. Of course, we've already covered them. We know that there's a dispensational change because this is Daniel's 70th week. It's the law. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Like I say, we're out of time, but the next lesson takes up in chapter 12. A great wonder in heaven, war in heaven. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. We'll take up there, Lord willing, next Lord's Day.